Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
And a pleasant good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our 2025 Saints Draft Preview. I am Mike Koss, along with Deuce McAllister, the Saints' first-round pick in 2001, the 23rd overall. And for the next couple of hours, it is going to be a whirlwind with Saints personnel making the decisions for the next 3 days. General Manager Mickey Loomis, Assistant GM Jeff Ireland, college personnel, Head Coach Callum Moore, Doug Nussmeier, Defensive Coordinator Brandon Staley, and talking to the guys who've done a lot of work leading up to this point, and that work will continue this weekend and on the back end. And we begin with Michael Parenton, Vice President of Pro Personnel, entering his 14th season with the Saints. Thibodeau, E.D. White, Tulane, all everything. You're our leadoff guy. Get on base, Mike. Just go out there and get on base.
That's what it's all about.
Nine picks, first time since 2015, ninth pick. First pick in the top 10 since 2008. A lot of questions, a lot of holes, a lot of, you know, what how do you feel going into these next 3 days about what can get accomplished?
It's really exciting. You know, when you think about the whole process, how much work goes into it, you know, our college staff does such a good job. And I feel like it's harder now than it's ever been because of transfer portal and tracking down guys over three, four schools, background, character, all that stuff. So that part has become a lot more challenging, but our guys have done a great job. And, you know, with the new staff now, learning a new defensive scheme, new terminologies, new body types, new offensive mindset, philosophy, those types of things. And Kellen's been awesome to work with, and Brandon and Nuss. So everything feels really fresh, really new. And, you know, you said it 14 years now, but to have this experience is great.
Mike, I hate to go down that rabbit hole of you talked about the college NIL space, or at least transfer portal, and you spoke on it just a little bit, but how much has that changed, you know, just in the last couple of years to even, hey, this is our board, you know, and I saw a report the other day, so how some teams may not even look at a player just because they may not have the fire. You know, they've gotten, we had underground payment for so many years. Now it's on top.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Well, not at Tulane.
you know, I don't have time, but yes. And just talk about that approach and how it's affected maybe a guy not coming out. You know, maybe a guy that needed the work and he's getting the work, but also, you know, just – I don't get to know the player as well because he's only been there 6 months.
Yeah, that's the challenge. You know, some of these all these guys now are becoming rentals. And I don't think you ever lower your standard, right? Like, we still value guys that love football. They want to work hard. They care for each other. They work hard for each other. The hard part is answering those questions if they do, because that guy's been there for 3 months. The coach may have only been there for 3 months. You know, so having your resource within the building that you know that could shoot you straight and say, hey, this is what this guy's like. This is what his people are like. This is what the crowd he hangs out with is like. What his teammates think about him. Like, it's harder to get those direct answers. And you're having to do a lot of work in the spring to answer and check off some of those boxes. The clean guys are still as easy as you can get. You get through the fall and that season. It's January, February. We're going to the combine. Like, we got this, let's call it 50% of guys that we know exactly who they are. There's not a lot of surprises to those guys. But these other ones, let's do our work. What answers do we need to find over these next couple months to make sure that when we're there and it's April, we got it right? And that's the beautiful part about the college draft process, is that you got until April to get it right. You don't need to get it right in February. You just got to figure out, okay, what do we need to do to make sure we get there?
Yeah, and I think I guess the next question for me, you know, just as we put this team together, you talk about having a new head coach, having new offensive coordinator, defensive coordinators, and maybe some different pieces that you haven't had in the last couple of years, you know, whether it's offense, defense, or even special teams in that aspect, because those rules did change as well. How do you blend it? How do you blend it? I mean, because you see some of the roster moves as far as from free agency, but now you start to add some of those young guys. And still, trades can happen, so there still will be some older guys added to a roster or this roster. But what's the blend that you kind of look for?
Well, I think you're constantly asking the questions and trying to get more and more information from our staff as to what they like. And like I said, your standards are always still the same. Smart players, guys that love football, tough players. Those guys play in every league, they win. Big players play in every league, they win. But how we're going to be using the guys. Maybe certain guys, it could be a secondary player. It could be an upfront player. It can be a tight end. You know, how are you going to be using those guys for the majority of the snaps out there, and how many of them throughout a game can certainly change. And so just getting as much clarity on that helps us to kind of whittle it down to be like, okay, these guys actually fit, you know, what you're looking for. And this guy's still a good player, but his value is not going to be maximized like it would this other player in this scheme or this system.
I feel like Mickey was pretty clear about where things are with Derek Carr yesterday. This is, you know, it is what it is. But for your job, you know, leading up to the last couple of weeks, you're looking at veteran NFL quarterbacks. You've got a grade. All the grades, Mickey said, were kind of locked in yesterday. That being said, it probably was not an area that was you were thinking was going to be a big need. Did you have to kind of revisit that?
Well, I think, you know, on the pro side, our challenge is that, you know, talked about in the college side, you got to get to April and get it right. On the pro side, you really got to be aware of it at any given moment. It's like someone takes a snapshot, you got a Polaroid. This is what the league looks like right now at this position. And look, when it's the fall, during the season, the trade deadline, in the season, you're doing free agent work, we're anticipating cuts, and you really got to grade the whole, you know, population in order to have a better idea where your guys are. You know, so it's not like you're not having to do a lot of backlogged work because of something new there. So you really got to try to be as anticipatory as you can with all that stuff and just make sure if ever the need arises, you could have an injury during the season and you need at a position. So you just got to be ready and have those guys evaluated.
I do have one, and it's probably, I don't know, it's probably football related, but just technology. You know, how it has changed. Mm-hmm. Are you guys throwing, you know, numbers in a computer and seeing what that computer kicks out, whether it's from an injury standpoint? We saw some of that, the usage of a player, left side slot, you know, maybe the right side of the field. This player is hitting at X rate. Is that still something, or is that something now, you know, even when you change staff, is that something that will be leaned on heavily?
I think
it's analytics, but it's not necessarily 100% analytics.
Yeah, I think it's just like Mickey's always used the phrase, it's another tool in the toolkit, and you got to understand.
But when are you using the tool?
Yeah,
though?
That's yeah. What I want. It's easier and easier to get there, and
correct.
Even from like watching film.
Correct.
You know, from when I first started to where it is now, technology has been to where, hey, man, you can go watch every single time this guy has lined up against a draftable player. Let's see how he fared. You know, so you filter out all the other snaps that maybe didn't matter as much, or targets, or tackles, or any of those things. So that's part of it. But then also weighing production and efficiency of a group, or, you know, from our advanced process in season, you're trying to see what units are performing well. And then, you know, on a granular basis, taking it all the way down to a player level, who's the most responsible for that success on a given play? You know, and that's kind of the stuff that, you know, as you have new staffs, they value certain elements of it more or less, to where you follow like teams that run similar systems or like players of body types and certain histories. And so I think you're just trying to educate yourself on what's available and then try not to overload yourself with so much noise that you can't make a clear decision, you know. And so we've got a great analytics team, and those guys have educated us on what other clubs have done, and we've integrated it slowly and slowly. And I think we're just starting to feel like, okay, we got a good handle on what's available, what we like, whether it's comparative, predictive, any of those things. And it could be mock drafts, it could be measurables, it could be production, all those things. You know, we've got a pretty good group now that gives us all that information.
And as we know, though, it all comes down to going out on the field and playing the game.
That's me, man.
The numbers can tell you whatever.
Your eyes can tell you the most.
Correct.
You know, and when you do it long enough, you understand that looks like what it's supposed to look like.
Can't measure the man's heart. Mike Parenton, thank you. Have a great 3 days.
Thank you.
And, of course, your work will continue with free agency. It's not over, so more coming your way. Coming up next, we'll talk with Senior Vice President and General Manager of College Personnel, the Assistant General Manager. That's Jeff Ireland here on the 2025 Saints Draft Preview, WWLAMFM.com, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. It is the Saints 2025 Draft Preview. Now speaking with Jeff Ireland, Senior Vice President, Assistant General Manager of College Personnel. It's in his 11th season?
Correct? That's right. Yeah, 11th season.
So 9 picks, really the most since 2015, 6 picks in the top 130. That's a pick about every 21 players. But kind of you were initially, you know, you think about you were looking for players for Sean, right? And then it was players for Dennis of what fit. And this, I'm talking about this, the whole college season, and then Darren a little bit. And then, you know, with Kellen, how did that change kind of the approach? Because it's not just you just – maybe it is just top 100 of the player, irrespective of who the coach is, but maybe there's a different body type.
Well, there, in some cases there are. You know, we type players and we keep up with the typing of players, you know, every single year, regardless of position, regardless of scheme, we keep up with that. We're very aware of what players look like and what they should look like in the NFL. So that part's pretty easy. It's just really more marrying to, you know, maybe Brandon Staley's defense and what he's looking for. And then, you know, maybe not being much as an outside zone scheme versus an in, you know, versus a gap scheme or inside zone scheme. So there's certain positions that you're looking for different types of players, different play styles. But our scouts do a great job of really identifying the play style and, you know, the mental, all the makeup and everything. So it's been an easy transition. So once we got the coaches on board, we're rolling.
So this has to do with the draft, but not necessarily the Saints draft. This is a Jeff's opinion. Top two players. Not that the Saints are drafting, but just top two players.
I would say, you. Yeah, I think I love Cam Ward. Mm-hmm. I think he's fantastic. I think he's a good playmaker. I think he's extremely instinctive. And then Travis Hunter, he's unique. He's very unique. You know, I think it's been a long time since we've seen someone be able to do what he does, his stamina, his instincts, his ball skills. He's got a, you know, I was listening the other day, and I actually mentioned this in our draft room, the number of time a coach or a scout said rare by talking about Travis and, you know, rare ball skills, rare instincts. Like, we don't use that term. That's at the very top of our, you know, description of, you know, adjective scale. You know, that's an A+. You don't get your A+s.
Right.
So those two players are, I think, whoever gets those two players, I think, are lucky.
Yeah, and so, like I said, that's not necessarily for the Saints. That's just your opinion. And so for me, it would have been Hunter and Abdul Carter.
Yeah.
Nothing against Cam, but, you know, just we don't have enough time to even talk about it from that standpoint for me. But, you know, Mike and Mike, who we just had, alluded to it a little bit, the difference as far as the scouting of those college players for you and the scouts on how you – the preparation for it and maybe changing a little bit. When you look at it, hey, we've got this player rated as, you know, I'm just throwing it out, 100, or he's a, you know, he's in the 100 range or at least 100 to 90 range. Does that get knocked down a little bit because maybe the scheme changes? If he's still 100 or rated in the 100 range, he's still a good player. But he may not be a good player for us because maybe the scheme changes, if that makes sense.
Yeah, look, we'll have 125 players on our board, and those 125 players are ours. Like, they fit what we do.
Correct.
They fit what we want. They're our kind of guys. You know, and we have a grade that does not fit. Like, I mean, we'll give him a grade, but he doesn't fit what we do. And then, you know, so he's not part of that number. But, you know, our scouts, again, a phenomenal group of guys. And they you have to grade the player and then let the coaches tell us that he doesn't fit.
Got it.
You know, so we're going to grade that player. He may be in the top 100.
Correct.
And if our coaches unanimously say, hey, he doesn't fit for us. And most of the time, the makeup of the player is when I come in and say, hey, like, that guy's not for us. Like, we don't want that guy in our locker room, or he doesn't have the intangible qualities that together form the desired football personality we're looking for. And so that's probably me and Mickey, and the fit comes from the coaches.
So I do have one that's probably interesting, and it's probably the scouts. I don't know if it would have risen up to you, the collectives, the NILs. The non-agents, because some of them you're not supposed to have an agent at certain points, you know, particularly during the season for those. Have you guys had a lot of interaction, or, you know, that's probably, like I said, the scout. Have they had to have a lot of interaction because maybe this kid has played at four different schools, or, you know, he's NIL chasing, but he's a good prospect?
You know, I think – we have such a good relationship, and we have to have relationships with agents in our business, you know. So, you know, here in two or three more days, we're going to be on the phone with all these agents trying to get those guys signed as free agents. So, but during the colleges, I mean, we're not really involved with many of those NIL agents. In most cases, the NIL agent and the agent
– he ends up being the NFL agent.
Being the same guy. You know, Drew Rosenhaus has an NIL business. And, you know, all those guys have their NIL business because that gets them in the door for – an NFL contract, and so that's what they're all looking for. And so from time to time, you know, I'll get on the phone with an agent and, you know, and just talk through, you know, his – that player's journey or, you know, that – and, of course, it's always going to be positive. You know, you have to filter through some of that stuff. But there are some agents out there that you can get some information from.
If the top eight go pretty much as expected, and, you know, who's to say, but there might be a couple of O-linemen, maybe a couple of edge, that puts you in a situation where kind of, I mean, you're going to be picking a top guy off the board at a position. You're going to get an impact player at that position almost if you stay at nine, right? I mean, that's and that guy, as Mickey said yesterday, you want that guy to be here for 8-9 years.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And play right away.
And most of the time, you know, you're picking at 15 or you're picking at 22 or 25, and you have one or two players short of how you've ranked those guys to be, like, comfortable. This year, we got nine guys, and we like all nine. And so if it goes off exactly like our draft board, we're picking the ninth player. Boom, let's go. And we feel real good about it.
How many scenarios do you guys have as far as, hey, this is a scenario we think, this is a scenario? How many is it like the 50 different scenarios, 50 different boards, you know, on the computer that we popped up?
No, it's one board. You know, it's really one board. And look, we move it around. Who guys was moving it 15 minutes ago?
So. Well, that's what I mean, because you can't have one board, because if somebody moves up to number four, you know, then the board changes.
Yeah, the thought process, the board doesn't change. It's the
if
thought process.
If the player changes.
No, we're sticking to that board.
Not your player, but the player that you thought was going gets drafted before you thought he was getting drafted.
Yeah, we've been through those scenarios.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, we've been through.
That's what I mean.
We've been through all, you know, the contingency
yes,
to the contingency.
Yes, yeah, that's what I mean.
We've been through 100 of them.
Okay.
And literally, you know, someone was knocking on the door a while ago. Mickey and I were going through another one just 15 minutes ago.
And I didn't want to ask it because I didn't know if, hey, somebody's made a trade already, and so that's the scenario.
Absolutely.
Good luck tonight. Good luck the next 3 days. Jeff Ireland, assistant VP, assistant general manager of college personnel. We'll be talking to you. Have a great 3 days.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Back after this, we'll talk with the new defensive coordinator, Brandon Staley. This is the 2025 Saints Draft Special with you all night, all the picks, all weekend. WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister. This is the Saints 2025 draft preview with you until 6 o'clock tonight, and then all the way through as we go to the 504 Golf and Entertainment with Bobby and Mike D'Atelier. So lots going on, and joined now by the Saints' new defensive coordinator, Brandon Staley. First year with the Saints, 10 in the NFL, former L.A. Chargers head coach. And we've already talked with all of our guests. We've already talked about you, about the defensive personnel and the type of player, and maybe that how that'd be different, you know, than the long defensive ends. And so maybe just, you know, broadly speaking, what is the Brandon Staley defense? What does that mean? We know 3-4 scheme and stuff like that. Tell me about this defense.
Yeah, I think anytime you build a defense, you want to do it inside out. I think you got to be a line of scrimmage team no matter what personnel groupings you play. You got to start the game inside out, and as Deuce knows, I mean, the game's not changing. No matter what anyone says, it's still going to be a line of scrimmage game. So we've really tried to do that, but we've tried to build versatility in our front to be able to match up. It is a matchup league, but I think the types of matchups in the modern NFL are different. It is a three-receiver league, but, you know, people are running the ball out of three receivers. So I think having variety in your groupings to defend the run and three receivers, you know, is really important. But I think what you want to be able to do is have the flexibility to play against any style in the NFL. I think you got to build your team to defend a 22-21 run game, rugged, in the cold type game, and you got to win, you know, against a team that's going to throw it 40 times, that has elite skill, elite quarterback. So I think that's the vision for how I've tried to defend in the past, is make sure that we have a foundation that's built to last, that can go into any game, any environment, that can withstand attrition. You know, you're going to lose guys, so you've got to have that flexibility and agility. But I think, you know, as I've gotten here, you know, Jeff's background and Mickey's background, I think it's been an outstanding fit. And then Kellen and I being together, we believe in the same things philosophically and how to build a defense and ultimately a football team.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you just giving us the opportunity to talk to you. This is my first time being able to interact and talk to you since you've been here, so I just definitely want to welcome you and then, you know, just expound upon a couple of things that you've said and, you know, just from my thought process of how you see it and listening to what you talked about. You talked about the 11 personnel and knowing that this is, quote-unquote, a passing league, you know, just because of the quarterbacks that you have. But when you go back and look at last year and probably the previous year, teams are starting to run the football.
That's right.
And so if you can't build inside out, you know, whether it's with the heavy nose or, you know, a three technique that can get upfield and be disruptive, or, you know, you talk about heavier defensive ends, how do I marry that personnel? I mean, because you may see some coaches that say, hey, I'm a 3-4 guy. That's who I am. Well, you don't have 3-4 personnel.
That's right.
You know, and so how do I kind of marry that personnel where I'm not going to be stubborn, but I still want to be able to be effective defensively?
Yeah, I think that's such a great point. And I think you just hit the most important part of team building is you don't have this 5-year window to, like, build a defense. What you got to be able to do is take the defense that you have and make the best of it. And then hopefully as you go, you grow it, all right, and mold it into maybe your preferred style. But every group of players has a bunch of superpowers, and you need to tap into it. You know, and I think the different styles of defensive lines that we've had. You know, in Chicago, we had a really big front. Akeem Hicks, Eddie Goldman, Roy Robertson Harris. That was a big group. Khalil Mack, Leonard Floyd on the edge. Like, we were a big team.
You know, heavy-handed.
When I went to the Rams, we were a little bit smaller than that. We had lighter edge players. You know, we had Leonard Floyd, Samson Ebukam, you know, Obo Okoronkwo. We had Aaron Donald, who's an undersized guy, even though he's the greatest, you know, defensive player I've ever seen. He's an undersized guy, and we had lighter guys, so we had to play a little bit more variety in our front, because if we had just played four down, we probably weren't big enough to do that. So we had to manipulate, get more guys on the line of scrimmage because we had smaller D linemen. So we had to get more guys up there so that there were less double teams. We still have to tackle backs like Deuce McAllister back in the day, all right, that are big guys, Nick Chubb, Saquon Barkley, you know, the rugged runners. And so you can't become a small team. I don't care if it's a passing league or not. Point A to point B, the easiest thing for anybody to do is turn around and hand the ball off. And if you can't stop the run, then you can't control the game. And then you certainly can't rush the passer, and you can't affect the quarterback, and you're never going to get any takeaways. And your offense is going to be sitting on the sideline. You know, so, you know, I think what we've tried to do is build the flexibility in our front to make sure that we handle the run game, to try and create as many one-on-ones up front in run game and in pass rush as possible. And I think that what we've tried to do is have, you know, the flexibility in our front to get, hey, when it's time to stop the run, we get our run guys in there. When it's time to rush, we get our pass rushers in there. And I think that we've done that in a variety of ways. But big picture, that's how we've tried to do it. And I think on the edges, what I do think has changed, you know, from probably when you were playing a little bit, you got to have athleticism on the edge now. In 2 minute to rush against the premier quarterbacks in the NFL, you got to have the athleticism to run and chase, because every premier quarterback can run now.
I got one question for you, Coach. If I'm talking about your defense, what's the personality of that defense? What's the personality of Coach Staley? What's the personality of your defense?
I think the identity is we want to play team defense. That's, I think, the number, when I go into a defensive meeting, guys, is establishing that we're going to play team defense. It's going to take all 11, and it's going to really take 22. If you need a two deep that can really play together and fit together. That's number one. But then you got, like I said, building inside out. You want to be a rugged point of attack team that kills blocks and tackles, you know, and that to me is the essence of playing defense, is killing blocks at the line of scrimmage or on the perimeter, and then being a really good tackling team, and being a tackling team at all three levels of your defense.
Welcome to New Orleans, my friend, and it's going to be a great 3 days and great times after that. We appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me.
Defensive coordinator Brandon Staley. When we come back, we'll talk with New Orleans associate head coach, also their running back coach, and welcoming him back to New Orleans. That's Joel Thomas. It's the Saints 2025 draft preview back after this. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister here at Saints camp until 6 o'clock, talking with Joel Thomas, associate head coach, running back coach as well. He spent 9 years here, 2015 to 2023, and we spent a year with the Giants. But welcome home. That's the main thing. Welcome home.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be back home and ready to go for the black and gold.
Right. So I'm going to – this. I saw this in the 05 draft. Now, you guys are both younger than I. There were more running backs taken in the 05 draft than defensive ends and quarterbacks combined. Three in the top five. Probably never happened again, but – but then we saw this kind of downtime for running backs. But the resurgence is clearly back. Alvin, Kendre, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Tell me about this running back room and how last year this team, middle of the road running the football. How do you get better running the football?
Well, obviously health in all areas. Yeah. That helps you first and foremost, whether it's the starters within the room, the backups, and then the guys that make it go up front. So. I know all too well what it's like when you're healthy and it's awesome, and then obviously when you have issues up front and you get banged up in the backfield, it makes it very difficult to run the ball. So, health first and foremost, availability, and then we got to go ahead and embrace this scheme we're going to go ahead and implement, and hopefully we climb the ladder here as far as the run game and improve
just,
that thing.
Let me just follow up and then I'll turn it over to Deuce and shut up. What does that mean? Like last year it was Kubiak, it was a run wide zone. When you say implement this new scheme,
you're going to have more options to go ahead and let the quarterback read the box and roll from there. As far as do I give it? Do I run it? Do I go ahead and throw the ball up in the perimeter?
More of an RPO.
Yeah, a little bit more there, probably sprinkled in, but it's something that you can watch some of the Philadelphia film, some of the Charger film from the Cowboys. I mean, everybody's stealing each year from each other, and there's even a little sprinkling of some of the old Saints stuff. So. We got to find the best 11 to get out there and get that thing rolling, and we'll fit that thing. Just like you heard Coach Staley talked about, we may have to adapt a little bit, too, to the personnel that we have.
Well, Coach, first of all, welcome back, just like Mike said. And for you've been busy, and when you look at this running back class, just working out different guys, whether it's been at the combine or whether it's, evaluating them, mm-hmm. where you talk about from the Senior Bowl or at some of the pro days. Just talk a little bit about this class overall, and it's a deep class.
Yes.
Everybody talks about, one guy early, and he's very, very good. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this is a unique and a deep running back class.
This class, the 17 class, since I've been in the league since 2015, the 17 class is the best one, hands down. Just from a sheer productivity, where guys were taken all through the rounds, even the late round guys, now they're sitting as 8 and 9 year vets that have been highly productive. This class has the makings of that to happen just by the sheer depth alone. I would say that, my opinion, after evaluating, most of the runners in this class, that there's probably a good handful that would have gone first, the first running back off the board last year. And that's not counting the one everybody's talking about right mm-hmm. now as well. I think it's a very deep, you're solid through the rounds. Usually running backs, the way the drafts unfolded, the middle rounds to late, that's when they start flying off the board. But I see guys going earlier than that this year.
Yeah, I think, you probably will get two of them in the first, maybe two in the first, but after that, that second, third round, you're probably going to get 10 guys.
I would not be shocked.
10 guys easy. And so, Coach, I know that for you, coming back, there's probably added roles to this team. Mm-hmm. How has that been, just some of the things that you're having to adjust to or just doing now as you guys head forward into this, draft offseason, then into the season?
Well, having experience living, coaching, being in this environment, in this culture, that helps. Obviously when you move and you go to a new place, you're figuring out where to get groceries and how to get to your house and all this stuff. And
you're helping everybody, aren't you?
Yes. Now I'm hitting the ground running. My wife, she's had contact with other wives, and I've been able to help out some of the assistants as far as like, hey, you need to go to this spot, get a nice dinner, take your wife there, babysitting, stuff like that. Myself and Coach Nugent. As far as roles within the team, it's pretty cool to come back into a building and you have some familiarity with the players as well, and not necessarily just the ones in the room. Like Eric McCoy, that's one of the first guys I saw when I came back. I love Eric. I think he's an ultimate pro, and able to, you know, connect and figure out how to get our families together and things like that in the off season. So having that connection, walking into a familiar building, but a new job, that's like a trump card right there a little bit. As far as roles that Kellen has, I think that's an evolving role right now that I have. I mean, there's going to be things that he's going to lean on me as the season starts kicking up. Right now, we're all getting our feet on the ground as far as getting on the same page as an offense, as a team, the vision, the goals, and hit the ground running from there. So we have a great OTA session coming up here.
Have a great 3 days. Welcome back again. Saints running back coach Joel Thomas, also the associate head coach. All thanks right. for your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're going to be talking with the new special teams coordinator, Phil Galliano, when we come back as he takes over the special teams. This is the Saints 2025 draft preview. Back after this. Welcome back. Mike Goss, Deuce McAllister. We are at Saints camp until 6 o'clock now, speaking with Phil Galliano. He is the new special teams coordinator. He was with, of course, Darren Rizzi. Really kind of started to take over this role when Darren became the interim, right? I mean, I know he kind of kept, you know, kept his fingers in there, but you also started taking a bigger role.
I did. I took a bigger role when that took over, and like you're right, you know, Darren still stayed involved, and it was a collaborative effort, but it was a really good opportunity for me, and it was awesome experience.
Nobody hovers over the GM on draft night more than a special teams guy. Nine guys, you're like, in your head, you're going, whoa, man, nine guys.
For sure. For sure. And it wouldn't only be draft day. It'd probably be all the days leading up to it as well, you know, between Mickey and Jeff, and just being in their ear about, you know, hey, if it's close, here's kind of who we like a little bit better that we can see, have a great vision for special teams-wise. So,
Mike, you know, because you get to the stadium, but Coach is one of my walking buddies before. Now, he does a lot more laps before the game than myself. But, you know, I normally get one or two laps. And so, Coach, when you're taking that walk around that field, what's going through the mind?
There's two things. One, I just get out there. I get to the stadium super early, so I got all this time, and I just get the opportunity to go walk around, clear my mind, put some music in, listen to some music, and just kind of think about things that can come up, try to go, you know, there's certain calls that I have memorized, and I'm just going back through them in my mind as I'm going around, or I'm playing the scenarios of what if this happens, and that could be, you know, injury-related, or it could be we get into a situation of, you know, down and distance maybe and what call we want to use, or trying to go back through and see what they're doing as I'm walking around, you know, kind of get some things from the opponents. You know, you're able to see is the punter throwing, how well does he throw, you know, or are any of the returners throwing, or, you know, you'd be amazed. All you got to do is keep your eyes open, and you'll see a bunch of different stuff out there.
You get some recon if you go out early and you just watch. And so, Coach, I know with some of the rule changes this past offseason on the special team sides, how will that affect, you know, maybe some of the things that you guys may want to do, and even looking at some of the players that, hey, you know, we may not draft this guy, but this may be a guy I want to bring in for camp and just see if, you know, he may stick, whether it's regular roster or practice squad.
Yeah, I think the rule changes are going to really change how the game's played throughout the league. If you take a look at what we did last year on kickoff with putting the ball in play all those times and wanting to be able to cover
51%,
kicks.
51%, I think, the second most.
Yeah, we were second most. You know, we covered the second most in the NFL, and that's the style of play that we want to play. I think that our players love it, and it gives a tempo to your team to start the game where, you know, you get down there and you're covering a play and you're not just kicking it through the end zone or letting them take a touchback. And with the touchback rule change and going up five more yards, I think that the numbers are going to tell you that a lot of the teams are going to put the ball in play. And I look at that as that's exciting for us because now we get more return opportunities. You know, with some of the returners that we have, they're so dangerous with the ball in their hands, and we get a chance to make a play. And, you know, we've built a culture here on special teams that we've been very successful. Our guys really enjoy it. And you can just watch us play and see what the effort and the energy and how our guys go out there and do that. So there's a lot of guys in our room that are excited because they know it's more opportunities for them. It's more plays in the game. And I think that will also translate into other players that maybe didn't play as much now are going to have to play on special teams because of all the balls in the kick return game they're going to be put in play.
Because I think that is a difference. You look at the Eagles, Lions, Vikings, Rams, Tampa. They tended to kick it in the end zone, right? They were all most in the playoffs. But now at the 35, you got to change things. But and this team has looked at it differently as an offensive. Don't look at it as a way just to get rid of the football. Look at it as a way to pin them back or get deeper, you know, returns, which they had more returns last year, you know, 40-plus than they had since 2016. So it is working.
It is, and every yard matters in this league, and it's hard to make a first down. That may sound silly, but every yard matters, and it's hard. And so if you get the opportunity where you can kick off, and instead of giving the team the ball at the 30, you know, you were able to tackle them inside the 25, or you had a really good play in there at the 18, well, now they got to make one extra first down to get to where that starting point was. And I think there's a direct correlation to average starting field position and points scored. And when you take, you know, we did some studies over like the past 5 years, and there's a significant difference when you go from the 20 to, from the 25 to the 30, or when you go from the 30 to the 35. And the other thing I think happens is a lot of people don't realize that it eliminates the amount of punts in the game mm-hmm. when you're starting the ball that far out, right? Because now it's a couple first downs and you're in field goal range.
Fourth down percentages are way up.
You're exactly right. And the fourth down percentages was going to be the next point there, right? So there's more field goal attempts. There's more teams going for it on fourth down. And that all ties back to field position. And I think that's one of the things that we stress with our players and understanding how critical field position and, you know, you hear on TV the hidden yardage, right? Well, it's real. It's a big deal. All those little yards add up throughout the game, and, you know, they equal points.
Yeah, you hear it on the radio as well. We're going to talk about hidden yardage, and so whether that's, you know, like you talked about, you know, from a turnovers aspect or return yardage or, you know, being able to pin a team down. And now I'm 15 yards, literally, before I put my kicker into his range.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's just, hey, do we have wind? Are we at home? How he's been kicking? I saw this kicker earlier in warm-ups, left hash. He missed it. He pushed it. He's not comfortable on the left hash kicking. And so all of those things go into play, and you see it and you watch it. As we approach this draft, you know, and we talked about it, you know, Mike talked about it a little bit. Is there, or, you know, you guys have done a great job of scouting maybe the non-Power 5 and giving those guys a legit opportunity, and we've got a few that have made this team. No, you can't say the player, but have you looked a little heavier at that, you know, range again as far as non-Power 5 player, whether he's a returner, whether he's a, you know, a kicker, or just a player that you feel like that can help you on teams?
Absolutely. I think we have more than one. We have a couple that we've targeted, and, you know, when the players get here, here's what do I tell them? We don't care how you got here, where you came from, whether you're a first-round draft pick, an undrafted free agent, it doesn't matter. Those seats are extremely hard to get in that room. They're even harder to keep. And how are you going to help us win?
Congratulations. Phil Galliano, special teams coordinator, thank you. Have a great 3 days. Got to take a break. Coming back, got a whole another hour. Kellen Moore, Mickey Loomis, and a lot more right here on the Saints Draft Preview right here.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
News is next. Welcome back. 5:07, a couple of hours away, maybe Tennessee on the clock from the 2025 draft in Green Bay. The Saints with the 9th pick, first top 10 pick since 2008, then 3 picks tomorrow. In this hour, Saints Executive VP, General Manager Mickey Loomis, and Saints Head Coach Kellen Moore. And we begin with a familiar face and name, Doug Nussmeier, the offensive coordinator. I'm unfortunately one of the oldest guys here, thus I covered you when you played for the Saints back in the day. Welcome back, first off. Good to see you again. You've been with Kellen a while, certainly quarterbacks coach, Dallas, Chargers, Philly. Your responsibilities now with him and your role as, you know, the offensive coordinator, even the passing, coordinator or quarterbacks coach, what does those responsibilities look like? How does this job change?
Yeah, well, you know, Kellen and I, like you said, have had a long past, so we've worked together. So I have a really good understanding of how he wants things done. And, you know, really, since we've gotten here, the biggest goal is to been to get the staff on the same page. And we have had a lot of familiarity with guys on the staff that we've worked with in the past. So really, you know, right now our focus is to get everybody on the same page. Obviously, you know, with Kellen being the head coach, he's going to get pulled in all different directions with his responsibilities in other areas. So my job really is to set the table for him, so to say.
Coach, when you talk about just from an offensive philosophy, you can approach it a lot of different ways, whether we're attacking it through the air, whether we're attacking it on the ground, or we call ourselves balance. And I say we call ourselves balance, but, you know, it's really how can I win a game? What's your approach to getting guys ready when I talk from an offensive philosophy? Is it teaching the overall picture, which most can grasp? Or is it, hey, this is specific for, you know, that play, that player, because they may not grab the whole picture?
It's a great question. I think the biggest thing is, like, the stage we're in right now is to give the guys a picture of the system from a big vision standpoint, right? And then, you know, as you go through these off-season workouts and OTAs and into training camp, we're figuring out who our team is, who our personnel is. And like you said, then you become into looking at guys' specific skill sets and, okay, we have this player that maybe doesn't fit all our plays, but he has this package that we can use. So I think that's a big thing, you know, and I think it's one of the things that, you know, as you look at Kellen's success as a coordinator, you know, in all different ways. And last year we leaned heavily into the run because as we looked into our team and you look at the front we had and the back we had and the ability.
Smart move, by the way. Yeah. Well done.
Well, you know, and then don't forget we still had AJ and Devontae outside. So when they decided to put those guys in there to stop it, you know, AJ was going to find those guys. But, you know, finding the identity of your team, to me, the players shape the system more than the system shaping the players.
And, Coach, I guess, you know, from that aspect, how much do you lean on a quarterback? And, you know, whether we have an experienced guy or some younger guys that like you have in the room now, how much do I lean on that quarterback to say, hey, these are the two plays that I'm giving you, but I'm giving you options as well based off that look, based off the call. You know, I may have a run it for you, but this is what you have.
Sure. You know, that's a big part of our system too. The quarterback's got to be a part of, you know, getting us in the right plays and us giving him the ability to use his toolbox to get himself into advantageous looks. And then, you know, you want to have what, you know, those breather plays where, like you say, a run it run where, hey, I know I'm just snapping the ball and handing off here. So there's that fine line. A lot of it has to do with the quarterback, and you've got to figure out the things that your quarterback does well.
Terminology much different. You think about this team with Sean Payton, Carmichael, Clint Kubiak. You know, you want them to be out there to just X you. Don't think. If they have to think, that millisecond is too much. Is the terminology much different than what this offense has been used to?
You know, it's a good thing and a bad thing, but Kellen and I have had experience to that in the last couple of years, bouncing to different teams. And I think the biggest thing is when you get there is trying to take a look at what they've done before, how they've called things, terminologies. Is there things that fit with how we want to do things that we can carry over for the players? And then also trying to keep, if we have a word that means something and it meant something opposite the year before, you don't want to do that to the players. So that's a big part of building the system, and that's what we've been doing over the last couple of months here as an offensive staff, is looking at, okay, what was it? Where do we want to go with it? How do we make this mesh? How do we make it make sense for the players?
Yeah, until you get in a situation where a zebra, you know, depending on what style of offense, zebra's three receivers. Now you just call 11, you know, and so, hey, now it's still three receivers. And so what's the easiest or best way for me to be able to give the players something that they understand quickly? And like Mike said, we're not spending 5 seconds of the play clock because I'm fussing over zebra 11, 12, or jumbo package.
Sure. And, you know, that's one of the things in our system we've tried to do over time is really look at verbiage. How can we eliminate verbiage and make the play calls smaller, those type of things, so we can play faster? Because, like you said, you don't want to waste time. We want to play fast. We want to attack on offense. We want to be aggressive.
I do have one for you, Coach, when you talk about just being aggressive from an offensive philosophy and standpoint. Looking at the draft and looking how the position has changed, you know, and a lot of coaches, and they're turning the music on me, so I have to shorten my question up. You know, whether I have an athletic quarterback or an athletic team, my system has to marry that. And so how deep will you guys get into, this isn't really my offense, but this works for my team? Now I say not my offense. This isn't what I really maybe would run traditionally, but this is what I have from a player standpoint.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll take us through the last two experiences we've had together, Kellen and I. Was you're in L.A. with Justin Herbert, who plays the game totally different at the quarterback position than Jalen Hurts does. So, you know, when you look at every position, and it has to be every position. You can't just look at the quarterback. You got to look, hey, what is our running back? What are his best runs? What routes do our receivers run the best? Hey, what's, you know, are we going to have to help a certain offensive lineman here? Hey, feel really good about this guy being one-on-one and pass pro. There's those type of things. You got to go through the whole system, and that's what you're trying to evaluate this time of year.
Doug Nussmeier, you know him, he's Garrett's dad. Best of luck. Welcome home, and have a great 3 days. Thanks.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me.
When we come back, it's Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. The 2025 Draft Preview Show continues after this on WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. It is the Saints 2025 Draft Preview leading you up to 6 o'clock for the Black and Gold Draft Show at the 504 Golf and Entertainment, presented by Flight, by Yuengling, the next generation of light beer. And Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis, this is your 24th draft, am I correct with that, for the Saints?
For the Saints. I wouldn't say 24 that I'm in charge of, but
I've
been here for 24 drafts, including the one we took Deuce.
We've seen the picture in Seattle when you were manning the phones.
Oh, gosh. That was so long. The times have changed so much. You know, we would every team would send a representative to the draft. You'd sit at this table just like the one right in front of us. There'd be two of us there, I guess, in case somebody had a heart attack. And then we had these, you guys might remember, they had these things that looked like helmets that were phones,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And you'd be on that phone. And it was maybe the second or third year that ESPN televised the draft, right? And the content of the show was the camera on the two guys manning the phones. Now, mind you, the two guys manning the phones had absolutely nothing to do with the decision.
No control at all.
Just the messenger.
I'm just on the phone listening to Mike McCormick and Chuck Knox telling me, okay, here's who we're taking. Write it down. You had to write it down on a card. You had to kind of keep it, you know, close to you because someone was looking over your shoulder. You had to make sure the spelling was right and the school was right. You know, that was kind of nerve-wracking. And then you turn the card into the league runner, and then he'd run it up the table and announce the pick.
Times have changed. Times have changed a little bit. And
yes,
so,
they have.
You know, when we look at this draft for this team, I know you were able to speak and, you know, kind of outline how things have been and going forward. You know, just tell us about that process with the new head coach and where we are today and, you know, how that may change in the next 2 hours, hour and a half. It may change in the next 5 minutes.
That's right.
You know, and so the phone is steady ringing for you and your staff, the upper staff, and, you know, you'll get the blessing from, you know, Miss Benson on whatever we finally decide to do, but just that process.
Yeah, well, first of all, obviously we our coaching staff was in place later than most. So that, you know, that pushes the process a little farther along, a little farther than you want. So you're feeling like for the last 2 months, like, we're behind. We weren't, but it felt like that. And so, you know, the first thing that you have to do is understand the differences in what we're trying to do offensively and defensively and have those coaches at each position explain exactly what we're going to be asking each of the positions to do, so that as we evaluate our scouting staff evaluates, they understand what the players are being asked to do, and we can evaluate whether those players that we're evaluating can do it. And it sounds simple. It's not as simple as it sounds. And for example, and I said this yesterday, the structure of our defense is changing. And so even some of the positions are called differently, you know, things that we might call a nickel, Brandon and his staff call that a star. And so and the nuances of what those players do are a little different. Therefore, the traits that they're looking for are a little bit different. So we have to, you know, recalibrate the evaluations that we've done since last, you know, spring to now and adjust. And so that's a process that we go through. And then, you know, you get those grades, you start setting the board. We bring our coaches in. We get their opinions. We take a group of players and you restack them, evaluate them in the grade groups that they're in. We talk about the position values. We talk about, you know, where our roster is, and you know, ultimately you end up with a vertical board. And we have, I think, a pretty good idea of two or three players that are going to be available to us. We'll see what happens tonight.
Well, I wanted to, you know, you talked about how that has changed from a defensive standpoint. Has it changed a lot offensively as well? Because you just talked about, there may have been a player that I don't want to say didn't fit, but he was a lower grade because I was looking at a different system.
Yep.
Whether that's offense or defense, and so now I had to go back and maybe look at him a little bit better, just because this is what coach wants, mm-hmm. and now he fits. To where another player that we were high on, he doesn't fit anymore.
Yeah, yes. I'd say the differences are a little bit more nuanced on offense. I think probably the most significant areas that, again, it's just a little bit of difference, not a lot different, are in the offensive line. And what we're going to be asking, you know, that front to do in terms of, you know, how we block the run game in particular, but even the pass game. So
yeah, I mean, because as you know, in the run game, offensively, gap is still gap.
Yep.
Whether we have a head coach that likes gap, and you know, it's gap scheme, it's right. zone scheme. Whether we like outside zone or inside zone, the scheme doesn't change. You know, and how we block it may change a yep. little bit, but it's still gap is gap.
Yeah, and I think it comes down to more about what are we asking. You know, the guards and the centers to do? What are we asking the tackles to do in a particular, system? And so, look, it's nuanced. It's not these significant, you know, radical differences. It's still, you know, blocking, tackling, catching the football. That the basic skills are still the same. And a good football player is a good football player. And if you have a good one, you're going to find a way to use them, right? Regardless of the scheme. So, but there are some differences, and so we've had to get that on the table and understand it. And I think it's been really good because this staff is great at communication. They're great at defining what they're looking for, and our guys are receptive to that.
Metrics are out there. I mean, for everybody, right? It's numbers. It's information in, information out. 1,500 mm-hmm. mocks, which I yep. know you love. But what we don't have, the only thing we don't have are the interviews, the dinners, the one-on-ones, who the yep. guy is.
Right.
And so if I'm in a job interview, I'm going to tell you what you want to hear. But maybe is that part underestimated?
Yeah, I think it is excuse me. It is underestimated, thank you. I had this cough last year and I was chewing gum all over the place and got ridiculed for that, rightfully so. But it seems like I get this cough every time this time of year. So, I think the interviews and just getting to know these players, and it's more than just an interview. You know, we've got coaches at pro days. They take them to dinner. You know, we spend time with them. You know, we try to ask things that are a little bit outside the box now and then, just to get them out of their comfort zone and find some things that maybe they haven't rehearsed for. You're just looking to find little red flags or green flags, right? And obviously, you know, a big part of the process is talking to trainers, coaches, academic advisors, equipment people at the schools they've been with, so we can understand, you know, the character and what makes up the player, because I pretty firmly believe that in professional sports and football in particular, we don't make a lot of mistakes relative to talent. Where guys, you know, fail in our league and don't achieve their potential has a lot more to do with the intangible things than it has to do with the tangible things. That's absent injuries, but look, these guys are playing, Power 5 football, the majority of them. That's a high level of skill. They're talented. And so that difference between, you know, that and coming to our league has more to do than just physical ability.
Well, I got to ask you, who are we taking at number 9, like you know right now?
We're taking Deuce McAllister.
Bring him back.
Let me go get suited up. A new body.
Hopefully he falls to us.
Yeah, a new body.
All right, Mickey, thank you as always. Best of luck. Next 3 days, man, 9 picks. Big most you've had it really in, since I think 2015, 2016. So
yeah,
good luck.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Deuce, always
Thank
good
you.
To see you.
Yes,
Take
sir.
A break. He's been evaluating college football talent for 20-plus years, and he knows because he played 10-plus years. We'll talk with National Scout Terry Wood next. It's the 2025 Draft Preview Show here on WWL. Back after this. Welcome back. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister. It is the Saints 2025 Draft Preview. Joining us now, Terry Wood, National Scout, 10-year NFL playing career. Mickey just said, drafted him when he was in Seattle back in 1990 out of Syracuse. 19th year with the Saints, 10th, I believe, is the National Scout, if my math is correct. Typically, it's not. We've heard pretty heavy defensive line, tight end, running back. Give me a feel of this draft class. It kind of feels like players, maybe in the first four rounds, kind of graded so closely, it's kind of a hard draft to put a finger on. And with nine picks, you got to feel in pretty good situation.
Yeah, like you're saying, this is a really deep draft, especially at wide receiver, D-line, running back. So you're going to find talented players in those later rounds, like you're saying, you know, third, fourth round. So there are a lot of good football players to be had in this draft.
Terry, just tell us a little bit about how everything has been for you. I know we talked a little bit off air, you know, but like yourself and the scouts leading up to this point and just talking to Jeff and Mickey and Mike earlier, when I change offense as far as a head coach, now I change maybe offense as well as defense, the player that I was looking at may have changed as well. Not necessarily guys, you know, if he's a good football player, he's a good football player, mm-hmm. but he may not fit
right.
because – our system are changing a little bit. And so just talk a little bit about that, if you can.
Yeah, they come in, new coaching staff comes in, and they have maybe different philosophies than the previous staff. And, you know, certain positions, like you were saying, you know, they might require a corner. They might want taller corners as, you know, the previous staff maybe wanted shorter corners. And you just make those slight adjustments. But at the end of the day, scouts, coaches, they all want good football players, you know, and sometimes guys don't necessarily fit what you want physically, but they're a good football player, and oftentimes you can't pass that, you know what I mean, because you might bypass this guy and say, oh, I don't think he fits, or, you know, he's not what we want, but you come Sunday, you see this dude out there balling, and you're going, wow, you know, what were we thinking, why did we not take this guy? But, you know, sometimes talent, you know, it supersedes, you know, maybe some physical traits or athleticism they may lack.
We know analytics and, you know, technology has played a part in the scouting of a player and giving you, you know, different grades. Maybe the film doesn't give as much. But tell us a little bit about, you know, like a player that comes from overseas or maybe a small college that – not to say that, you know, we didn't even know about, but a school that, hey, I got a player.
Right.
And it was, I saw him on the internet, and I had to go and look at him. Just tell us about maybe that type of situation that, not that it's popping up this year, but it's something that, you know, hey, it has happened in the past.
Right. Well, you can use analytics and film to, you know, you can combine the two together to kind of help you fill, you know, some voids, you know, when you're talking about a player such as a guy, you know, maybe you've seen him on YouTube overseas. But, you know, it plays a crucial part. You know, you can't just go solely one or the other. But, you know, if you find a perfect marriage between the two, you know, I think is very beneficial and it helps a lot.
Players bouncing around used to kind of be a red flag. You know, now, guys, everybody's got two teams,
yeah.
right? Everybody's been around everywhere. Half of them are 24, 25 because of the COVID years. In some ways, does it help you at all from an evaluation standpoint? You got a guy, how did he fit in with two teams? How did he fit in the locker room? How did he do in this conference? How did he do against that conference? I mean, it's a weird way to say that it's been beneficial in the evaluation process. Has it at all?
It's been beneficial in some ways because, like you're saying, a guy has a long history, so you can kind of have a better idea, you know, what type of player he is compared to maybe a guy who's coming out after 3 years compared to a guy who's been in college for 6 years. So he has a longer track record.
And with multiple teams.
Yeah, and with multiple teams, and you kind of see, like, okay, he's able to, you know, go to a new place, adapt, learn a new playbook, and succeed. So that kind of helps those guys in that regard.
The draft is over. This team has always been such a heavy undrafted free agent team. And I don't mean just heavy, mm-hmm. That guaranteed salaries, one of the top four teams. It's a secondary market where they attack. How big are you in? Because that's, I call that the backboard, right? The front board's the draft board. The backboard's the guys that we think might not get drafted, and that's going to be your first calls, you know, after the draft. How heavily involved in you are that?
Well, all the scouts are involved in that, yeah. and you know, you're calling free agents and you're selling opportunity and you're selling chance, and you know what I mean. And a lot of these free agents, for them, it's all about being in the right place at the right time, you know, because you go to a team that's, I'm just making a, you know, wide receivers, and you go to this team and they're stacked at wide receiver, and if you're a free agent, you're gonna have a hard time catching somebody's eye or getting those necessary reps you need. But you go to a team that needs wide receivers, you know, coaches are gonna be looking at you. Coaches, you know, because it's a position they need help at. And the same thing with new coaching staff, because you know, hey, every position is up for grabs. So you know, it's just about, you know, calling these guys and just preaching opportunity, and it's not necessarily the money you get initially. But you got to think long term. It's like, listen, you make this team and you have a nice NFL career, you're gonna make up for that money you didn't get initially. So, you know, it's about the sell job.
And for you, you can sell, hey, only 9 of these guys was drafted by this staff. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, your first round of last year, that's a little different. But this staff isn't necessarily tied to a guy that's been here for 4 years, for 5 years. You know, they don't have any tie to him.
Right, exactly. So, like I said, that's what you're doing. You're selling opportunity. And it's like, hey, you'll be given every chance in the world to make this team. So, and some guys listen to it, and some guys is in one ear and out the other.
Well, that's life. It sounds like parenting as well. Terry Wooden, appreciate your time. Best of luck, continued success, and have a great weekend.
All right, thank you. Thank you guys for having me on.
You bet. Appreciate when we come back, it's going to be Terry Joseph, defensive pass game coordinator, homecoming for him, Archbishop Shaw, player and coach. After that, we'll talk with head coach Kellen Moore. Take a break here on the 2025 draft. Special Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister back after this. Welcome back. It's the Saints draft preview. Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister, joined now by Terry Joseph, defensive pass game coordinator. I got all these new rules and new roles for everybody. You'll know him, Shaw, Northwestern State, but played baseball at Northwestern State, minor leagues.
Yeah.
But, you know, came back to coach at Shaw. Welcome home. You know, it's great to see these familiar faces.
Thanks. It's been awesome. You know, it's like a dream come true. Life truly does come full circle. And to be sitting here with a guy who covered me when I played in high school and a guy who played running back downhill out the power eye as I watched the Saints is an awesome experience.
Because past game coordinator, it feels like, you know, initially you think secondary, but it really it's as a whole. If the defensive line doesn't get the pass rush, and the secondary, it's one unit.
There's no question. You know, I think the way football has changed, it's an 11 person job, and we all have to do our job. And for run support, the secondary is involved. Just like in pass defense, the front four is involved. So as a unit, I think you have to be united on what you're trying to accomplish. As far as trying to win the game.
Coach, well, just like Mike just said, I have to tell you congratulations. And, you know, just I know it's been a whirlwind for you just because you are home. You have a job to do. But at the same time, you are home. And so how much has home tried to pull you away from the job that you have to do?
Yeah, it's definitely a strong pull. You know, the passion that the people in Louisiana, South Louisiana especially have for sports in general, but, you know, New Orleans Saints football and LSU football rule the roost. And so it has been a strong pull, but also I have to be disciplined to do my job. And I think it really hit me when I was driving actually to work. From, you know, the hotel in Metairie to airline, it really made everything a reality for me.
And, Coach, I guess, you know, you're one of the guys that has a lot of experience with some of the guys that are about to be drafted. Just that insight that you may have. Maybe I recruited a guy. You know, maybe I coached some of those guys, but maybe I recruited a guy. And, you know, Mickey comes up to you, Coach Moore comes up to you. Tell me what you know about him. You know, what do you remember? Or just you having a conversation with him, how much insight can you give just because you've probably had – you're one of the coaches that have had a lot of interaction with some of these guys that are, you know, hoping to have their name called tonight and over the next 3 days.
Yeah, you know, in the 2 months on a job, the one thing that I've learned is that the draft process – it's a lot more in-depth than a recruiting process. Mm-hmm. And so we have a great scouting department. Jeff and those guys do a great job. But also, you know, with me, Bo Davis, Peter Sermon, guys who are coming from college, we are very familiar with a lot of this draft class, whether they were opponents on our team or, like you said, we recruited them. So we do have a lot of extra information that can help us out. Like, hey, I recruited this guy. I like this about him. I didn't like this. This is something that we have to be aware of. So I think that gives us a unique advantage in this draft.
Thoughts about tonight? Where were you? Where you'll be in the room, right? Everybody's in the room, right?
Yeah, everybody's in the room. It's like Christmas Day. You know, you're about to get some new toys. The preparation's been put in. Obviously, there are some things that can change here in the last few hours. But, you know, you're looking to get some new toys that fit into what we're trying to do. And, you know, and Kellen's been very direct on a culture that we're trying to create and getting the right guys in here. So it's nothing but excitement.
Well, we like new toys. And welcome home. Good to see you. And best of luck in the next few days. And really, for the coming season.
I appreciate it, and I'm very happy to be back home.
Trust you bet. From
appreciate
the University of Texas to back home in Louisiana, Terry Joseph, defensive pass game coordinator. Coming up next, we'll talk with Kellen Moore, the new Saints head coach, his first draft as a head coach. A lot to talk about with him. We're back here on the Saints 2025 draft preview with Deuce McAllister. I'm Mike Haas. Welcome back, Mike Haas. Deuce McAllister, as we work with the Saints draft preview show 2025. I'm going to get some things out of the way now. I want to thank Chris Coleman, of course, our engineer, Cullen Steele back at the station, all of our guests, Deuce McAllister, Doug Miller with the Saints, who's brought everybody. And then, of course, after this, it'll be the Black and Gold draft show presented by Flight and Yingling, the next generation of light beer at the 504 Golf and Entertainment right off of Howard Boulevard on the Riverbound Expressway. It's the only draft special that I've got my golf clubs packed in the back. But they've just been there for a while. I ain't moved them. So we're looking forward to that.
I thought you threw them in there today because you're going to swing. So
I'm going to try to swing. I can almost walk to the place in the Superdome. And it's calling my name.
It's right there calling your name.
I know you don't do mocks, and we're getting ready to be joined by Kellen Moore in just a second. You know, when people ask you, because I know they do, what are they doing at nine?
They don't know. I mean, you ask Mickey.
Right. If eight go the way they think eight goes, they got a guy.
Well, they've got two or three guys.
Right.
So it's the pod. You've got two or three guys that you like at nine.
Right.
But to say that you know exactly who you're going to get at nine, that would be, out of which scenario.
Right.
I mean, because there's so much that you don't control to get to nine. That's the problem. You feel good about one, who that's going to be. Okay, so now tell me the other seven. I can give you an idea, but what if somebody throws a curve and they move up?
Doesn't take much to throw a curve in this draft.
Yeah, and so, like, you know, how aggressive will a team be? And we know over the last couple of weeks, I don't care what personnel and people say, not a lot of truth-telling has been done by a lot of people. Not a lot of truth-telling.
They would not pass the truth serum test?
No, not at all. And so you've got all kinds of stuff that is flying out there. That is not very true.
One of the things Mickey said yesterday is that we're talking about drafting, trading up or trading back. He said, why would I trade back to get a player of lesser value on our board? And then he said, unless you think you can get that guy trading back.
And so he told you the truth.
Unless you feel confident.
No, he told you the truth.
Right.
But I might have a guy that's very, very similar. I mean, we're talking 0.5 similar from a grading standpoint. And I can get how much value by getting a 0.5 player? Now, I'm not going to trade all the way back and get, 10% less. But, yeah.
If you can get your guy, that would be the difference.
A guy that's in my pocket. So it's not necessarily my guy. He's my guy. Right. But I have three other guys that are just like him. And so you can't see it. But Coach Moore just walked in. And so we'll have him
to join us.
Coach, how you doing? A pleasure. Good to see you.
The water is yours. The headphones are yours, my friend. First off, welcome.
Thank you.
36 years old, youngest head coach. You've been around the league. You paid your dues, but I'm trying to get a feeling of the thoughts and emotions. You're going to be in a room tonight with a lot of new faces, but a lot of guys from the front office who have been here, right? They, you know, established.
Absolutely.
Just kind of your thoughts and emotions heading into tonight.
Certainly feel fortunate being in the situation, first-time head coach, but being with the guys who've done this for a long time. And so it's been an awesome process, such a fun process when you kind of team up with the coaching staff and the scouting department. We do a lot of work over the last couple months, and it's a really good environment.
When do you feel like, Coach, like Mike said, welcome, when do you think or feel like things will kind of slow down for you? Because it's all still new. it's all still new.
Yeah.
And you have some guys, you know, like you said, that have, I don't want to say been there, done that, but have been through the process. But ultimately, this is yours. You know, this is your team. And how you construct it, how you guys construct it together, that's going to be what's – you're most comfortable doing, but you know, at some point you want it to slow down. Are we there yet, or will that be a while?
I think ultimately the humor part of this is it feels very much like a desk job early in the process, and there's a lot of, you know, work behind the scenes, and the players have been here now for basically 2 weeks, and it feels like the more time you spend around the players, the more it gets back to probably the part that you really love the most, which is just being around those guys and investing in them and spending time around them. And so, you know, the more we're out on that field, the more you start feeling like, you know, it's the normal routine you're used to.
Yeah, not the desk job, the duties. I mean, because as a head coach, it's not just coaching.
Correct.
You know, I am responsible for 53 guys, and that's not counting my practice squad. But there are other duties and things that you have to do. You know, and so I have one. You know, I've been around a couple of different head coaches playing for them, kind of like yourself. But a lot of those guys, from a scheduling standpoint, do you have your summer schedule already made out as far as, hey, this is how I want my practice to go. This is the periods that we're going to go in. You know, we'll implement plays, but this is how I want to have that laid out. Have you already done a lot of that as well?
Yeah, by segments. I think really we have a good beat on how the next month and a half will go all the way through June, you know, through the OTA process. And so we're really fired up, and we feel like it's a really good plan to allow these guys to build through this process. Everyone will get a little bit of window in the summer like everyone does for a few weeks to kind of get away from this, which everyone needs to, because then when you hit training camp, it's full speed ahead.
When you look at kind of the to-do list, this team has struggled in the past few years running the football. It has struggled in the past few years stopping the run, and it doesn't feel like the next thing on that list matters a whole lot if you don't do either of those things well. And quite frankly, not every team has Jalen Carter, you know, and Jordan Davis and Saquon Barkley. How do you address those? That's a broad question, but how do you address those two areas?
You're going to attack in a lot of different ways. Obviously, we know the line of scrimmage, how important this game is. I'm a quarterback guy. I love throwing the football. I love all the fun, you know, parts of that game, but this is a big boy game. Offensive line, defensive line, run game, stopping the run. You know, it's a philosophical approach. Obviously, it's a personnel approach, and really it's a, you know, schematic approach as well. And so there's a lot of layers to this. Obviously, we know the investment that you can put into there from all three phases of that, and so you know, we're excited to hit the ground running.
And that's where you are now, right? It's about the verbiage, and let's don't make it too hard. Let's make it as simple as possible. Keep this, because that's what they're used mm-hmm. to. Keep different things. Getting all that on one page.
Yep, absolutely. It's a really fun process. You're teaming up with a whole bunch of people who have all different exposures and different experiences, and it's really about us, you know, using all those experiences, but ultimately lining up and being aligned together.
Coach, you got a question. Since, you know, your background being a quarterback, playing that position, coaching that position, now being the head coach, will you step a lot into that defensive area as far as, you know, hey, coach, I want to see it, but I'm not going to get too involved with it because, you know, if I see something where I can suggest something to you, that's what I'll do. But, you know, I'm gonna allow you to do your thing defensively. Is that the approach that you will have?
Yeah, ultimately, you know, you understand in these shoes, you're responsible for all aspects of this team. And, you know, it's a great opportunity. You're really, really excited about it. You know, we teamed up with some really good coaches, and I want to be a support for those guys. I want to be a support for Brandon Staley. I want to be support for Phil Galliano, Doug Nussmeier, for our coordinators and everyone else. You know, I want to be a reference point for those guys to help be a resource as we go through this process. And that ultimately we're all teaming up on this thing together.
When you look at this draft, you know, tonight, and, you know, we've talked to everybody, you know, from the staff and from the scouting department, but what's your overall take on this draft? Not just the Saints as far as number 9,
But we feel like there's some really, really good players that could not only help the Saints, but some other teams as well. Some other teams are going to get better tonight as well. I mean, we will admit that.
No!
But just, you know, your overall thoughts on this draft, you know, and how it could help, you know, ultimately the league, but, you know, particularly the Saints as well.
Yeah, I think ultimately everyone hopefully comes out of this thing feeling like they got better. And so certainly we feel like we're going to be able to do that as we go through this process. Again, it's one step in the process. You know, it's a big part of it because you're, you know, bringing in people that ultimately are going to have a huge impact on our team. But again, it's a part of the process. And once they get in the room, this is about getting in the room. And after that, you're in the room and everyone's at a clean slate. Everyone's in the same opportunities, the same chance to get on the field. And so, you know, this is about taking advantage of the opportunities these guys have presented themselves through their work, through college, through everything before that. They're going to get a chance to get into the room. And then after that, you know, it's go time for everyone.
Coach, I want to ask you, and, you know, I don't want to get too in-depth at it, but from an offensive philosophy, how does that look for you? Offensive philosophy, you know, just how it looks. Doesn't necessarily have to be from what we have ultimately on Sundays.
Yeah.
I mean, because that will change.
Yep.
But from an offensive philosophy, how does that look for you?
Yeah, we always talk about playing smart, playing fast, and playing physical. And so, you know, we want to play with tempo as we go. We want to be able to spread people out. But there's a physical component with it, and it takes all 11 on the field on offense. You know, everyone talks about the O-line and the tight ends and the running backs and the physical component of that, those guys. But the receiver's physicality in the pass game and the run game, the physicality that the quarterbacks have to do, they have to stand in the pocket, they have to take shots, they have to lean in there. It's going to take every single guy on our team to build that identity and continue to grow as we grow. You know, what it looks like, 11 personnel, 12 personnel, whatever it may be, you know, that's where, you know, you build it around whoever you have on the field and adjust accordingly.
From a quarterback standpoint, how much control will he have? Will he have the option to be able to go up there, hey, I don't like this play? You know, coach, you know, you've given me the right, you know, some plays I'm going to run it. It's a run it situation, but yep. I don't like this play. You know, I've studied it. You know, we've met enough to, I can get out of this play. You know, yep. I see four strong over there.
Yep.
I want to get out of it, and you know, I want to check to a run, or I want to check hot. You know, will that? And I don't care what quarterback it is, he's got to be able to do it.
100%.
Is that something that's in this system?
You always want the quarterbacks to have the tools in the toolbox, and I think it's really, really important. And every guy's at different stages in their career, and so you want to allow them to play fast and play confident while giving them the tools, and you don't want to give them too much that it bears them down. But again, giving those guys, they got the best seat in the house. They get to see it right there, right in front of them. They know the things that they can utilize and different tools, and I think when you empower those guys, they have the confidence, and then it breeds into the rest of the offense. They feel the confidence that guy has.
And it's an evolution, right? None of this happens right away.
Nope.
For this defense going to an evolution to a 3-4 with Brandon. And so it just feels like rather than jam a player into your scheme, you get the players. What are their skill sets? Let's develop the scheme around them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we all have preferences. We all have philosophical approaches that we're going to lean into. But I think it's important to have the flexibility. The seasons are really long in the NFL. It's a marathon at times during the regular season. You got to be able to play different styles based off the matchups that you play, but also based off your personnel, who's available, who's not available. You know, there's going to be a game where we're going to have to play a shootout and you're going to throw it 50 times. Then there's another game that's going to be a grind it out, run it 50 times. And you got to have the ability to play in those different landscapes.
Coach, have you had a chance to really get into the city and explore New Orleans a lot yet, or not yet?
I'm getting there. It's been such an awesome experience here in the short while. We got the family here a few weeks ago, so now we're full time. We're locked in, and it's been great.
And it's going to get better. I got to just quickly. You were here for the Super Bowl, right? In these hallways, did your mind ever wander, just going, yeah? Because at that point, a lot of the coaches had dropped out. What was that like?
It was a really fun process to be here, part of the Super Bowl. To experience the city of New Orleans in that setting, just the great showcase that it was for the city. You know, we snuck over here. We had practice at the facility, so yeah. It was kind of fun walking around and kind of looking at it. And, you know, just such a cool place.
Yeah, we can't wait to get that excitement back for this team, you know, and not just another NFC team. And so we're excited, and good luck to you guys, Coach.
Appreciate it.
Welcome.
Thank you guys.
Have a great night. Have a great weekend, in fact. That's Saints head coach Kellen Moore. I want to thank everybody for listening. Deuce McAllister, of course, and Doug Miller and Chris Coleman, everybody who helped on this show. We're just getting started. It's the Black and Gold Draft Show presented by Flight and Yuengling. It's the next generation of light beer. We're going to be at the 504 Golf and Entertainment right off Howard Boulevard on the Riverbound Expressway. Deuce and Jeff Nowak will be here. It is wall to wall. Every pick Draft begins at 7 Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Thanks for listening right here on WWL AMFM.com and always on the Odyssey app.